Well, shalom, y'all. We just want to welcome you to this week's teaching. You know, great shalom have those who love his Torah or Yahweh's Torah. You know, you have great peace, blessing, fulfillment is upon the lives of those who love Yahweh's Torah, who embrace his Torah, and who walk in his Torah. And as his word says, nothing will cause you to stumble. So you are as the person who has built his house upon the rock. When you love his Torah and you embrace his Torah and you are obedient unto his Torah. So with that in mind, we're going to jump into his word for this week. We're going to study his word. We're going to hear what the Father has for us this week. And this week we are reading in Deuteronomy chapter 22, and we're going to read verse 12 here in Deuteronomy chapter 22. He says, "You shall make tassels on the four corners of the clothing which you cover yourself." So here in this chapter, we're reading some instructions that Yahweh is giving the children of Israel and unto us regarding how we are to love our neighbors and how we are to love him. And in verse 12, he gives us this very simple command about making tassels, or as the Hebrew word, the tzitzits, on the four corners of the clothing with which you cover yourself. So what I want to do now is read a portion in Numbers chapter 15. And this portion is going to give us a little bit more detail regarding this instruction in which Yahweh is giving us here. Remember, Deuteronomy is just the re-giving of the Torah to the generation, the second, I guess you could say that second generation of Israel that has come out of Egypt. The first generation does not get to enter into the promised land because of their unbelief, their disobedience, in which they rebelled against Yahweh in the wilderness. And now the second generation is on the precipice of entering into the promised land. And Moses is giving them the Torah for the second time. So they are having the Torah given to them before they go into the land. So let's look at Numbers 15, verse 37, and get a little more detail, a little bit more information regarding these tassels. Again, Yahweh spoke to Moses saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generation, and to put a blue thread in the tassels of the corners. And you shall have the tassel that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of Yahweh and do them, and that you may not follow the harlotry to which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined, and that you may remember and do all the commandments and be holy for your God. I am Yahweh your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am Yahweh your God." So here in this portion, we're getting a little bit more information from what we just read in Deuteronomy. The first thing we're seeing here is that upon these tassels, there was also supposed to be a blue thread inside the tassel. And we see in verse 39 the purpose behind the tassel and the reason why he was instructing them to wear the tassel. The tassel in itself was not something to be worn as a fashion statement. It wasn't really something that was meant to as a piece of apparel to make them stand out. The garment itself, the tassel, was not meant to make them different. It was what its purpose was behind it, was to make them stand out, or you could say be set apart. Remember, he says, "You shall have the tassel when you look upon it. You shall remember my commandments." So the tassel in itself was really for the purpose of the person wearing the tassels, for them to see them. And when they saw them, they were to be reminded of the commandments of Yahweh. And in being reminded of the commandments, they would be obedient to the commandments, or they would walk in his commandments. It's like the concept of the Hebrew word Shema. Shema, it means to hear and obey. So you hear his word, and so you obey his word. Same thing with belief. It's because you believe in him, we obey him. Because we believe his word, we are obedient unto his word. So we are to be reminded of his commandment. And being reminded of his commandment, we are to be obedient unto his commandments. What? That we may not follow the harlotry of our own hearts. It's very interesting that he puts it that way because, see, Yahweh knows that the heart of man is evil. And every man is an evil heart. There are evil desires, there are fleshly desires that dwell in the hearts of men, of every man. And if we leave ourselves to just follow whatever is in our own hearts, we will be led astray by the evil and the wickedness that resides within our hearts. So he's like, I want to give you something to remind you of my commandments, to remember them and to walk according to my commandments and not according to the evil that is within your heart. Because what was the idea? That you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy or be set apart for your God. So the idea here is you're not set apart by the fact that you're wearing the tassels. It's the fact that you're wearing the tassels, but you are obedient to his commandments. It's the fact that you see the tassels and you're reminded of his commandments and you remember his commandments and you do them and you're obedient to his commandments. You put aside the lust of the flesh. You put aside the evil desires that are within your heart and you choose instead to be obedient to his commandments. And it's in your obedience to his commandments that you are holy or you are set apart for Yahweh. When people see your obedience, that is what's going to set you apart. If you're wearing tassels, but you're not obedient to his commandments, then you're just a weird person wearing weird things from your clothing. You're not set apart from people. It is your behavior, your actions, the fruit of obedience that they see in your life that's going to set you apart. And that was the desire for Yahweh, for the children of Israel, was to give them something to remember that. We see another place in Scripture where he instructs them for the commandments always to be before their eyes. So the thing that Yahweh is getting at here was giving them a tool to walk in obedience. That's what the idea is. This is a tool, a resource, something to help us to remember his commandments. Because when you get busy in life and you're walking around and you're going about your daily affairs, it can be easy to forget his commandments at times. So he gives them something. So as they're doing their things, they see this tassel hanging from their garment. They can say, oh yeah, I remember his commandments. I need to walk in his commandments. I need to be obedient to his commandments. It wasn't about an outward appearing of a clothing that they were wearing. Now let's look at some scriptures that talks about the actual heart condition of man. This is Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 we're going to be looking at here. And this is Yahweh speaking to Noah. And this is before he floods the earth because of the wickedness that is going on in the earth and the perverseness in which they were walking in. It says, then Yahweh saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And Yahweh was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So Yahweh said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. So here Yahweh is speaking of the conditions of the hearts of men on the earth at that moment in time. And he says that every intent of the thoughts of their hearts were evil continually. That's how evil, how wicked men had become on the earth at that time. That every, it says every thought that they had was wicked. Every thought was evil. It was a continual evil thinking in their hearts. That's how much they have progressed in their wickedness. And we're going to come into a time period as we draw more into the end of the days and closer to the time that Yeshua is going to return. We're going to see men being just like they were at the days of Noah. And we can look around now and we can see how the progressiveness, how men are progressing in this wickedness, and how you can't say right now, you can look at certain people and you can say that not every thought is wicked. And, you know, even us as believers in Yeshua, we don't have every thought is wicked. Not every bit of our heart is evil, but there are still parts of our hearts, though, that if we're not careful could lead us astray, but we're not progressed in this wickedness. And if man does not allow themselves to be cleansed by the blood of Yeshua, allow the Spirit of Yahweh to come and live and reside in them, and to begin the process of yielding their hearts to the Torah of Yahweh, then what begins to happen is the heart of man will continually progress in wickedness until we get to the point that we read of here in Genesis. And that's where we're moving as this earth progresses in darkness around us and we approach the time that Yeshua is returning. But what I'm trying to get to here is, you know, our heart will lead us astray. It is wicked and it has wicked desires and wicked thoughts. And so we have to remember his covenant and his commandments and not be led astray by our hearts, because our hearts will lead us astray. His Torah is like a map. It creates that straight course for us. It keeps us on track. It keeps us on course for us on what is truth, what is righteousness, and it helps us and prevents us from being led astray by the wickedness that is within our hearts. So let's look at another portion of scripture here from this week's Torah portion, and this is Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verse 18. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of his city. And they shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. So here in this portion, we're seeing the instruction that is given unto Israel for the son, or you could say the person, who will not obey his father or mother, or who is rebellious, who is stubborn. So we're thinking about this in relation to what we just talked about, with our hearts being wicked, and this idea of needing to be reminded of his commandments and to be obedient to his commandments. Well, see, we see here in a portion of scripture here of how a person who has chosen not to follow the commandments of Yahweh, who has chosen not to remember them, but instead is following the wickedness that is within their hearts. They're being disobedient. They're being stubborn. They're being rebellious. Well, to that person, the penalty was what? Death. They were to be stoned to death. The penalty for disobedience is death. And when we follow the wickedness that is within our hearts, and we choose to be rebellious and not to follow his commandments, when we choose not to remember them and not to walk in set apartness and to be set apart from the world, but instead we walk just as the world walks. We look just like them. We act like them. We follow the evilness that is within our hearts. The penalty for that, what we deserve, is death. That's what the wages of sin is death. You know, Paul tells us that. But as we read in the next scriptures, in Deuteronomy, from this Torah portion, Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verse 22, he says, if a man has committed a sin deserving of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, His body shall not remain overnight on the tree, but you shall surely bury him that day, so that you do not defile the land which Yahweh your God is giving you as an inheritance, for he who is hanged is accursed of God. So this is speaking of how when a person has committed a sin of death, he talks about this idea of some being put to death and this idea of him being hanged on a tree. Well, we know that this was the death that Yeshua would die for us, that he would die a death hanging on a tree. But see, Yeshua was the sinless one. He was one without sin. But he came because he loved us so much. He was obedient unto his Father and the mission that he was given to do. And he went, and he, as a sinless, spotless Lamb of God, was hung upon that tree, and he died upon that tree for us. So that we, who have walked in the wickedness of our hearts, who have been disobedient to Yahweh's commandments and his word, who deserved that death penalty, he paid that debt for us. So we can be forgiven. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. What was the curse of the law? The curse of the law was, if you disobeyed, then you received the death penalty. So he paid our death penalty for us. So whoever will believe in Yeshua, believe that he died upon that tree for them, that he was a sinless, spotless Lamb of Yahweh, he was raised from the grave on the third day, that he is the Son of God. If you believe in him, you believe in what he's done for you, you can be cleansed from all your sins. You can be forgiven. And that death penalty is removed from you. You are justified. You are seen as in right standing with Yahweh at that moment in time by faith in Yeshua. So we are cleansed. He paid that death penalty for us. But he paid that death penalty for us, right? So we could be redeemed. He redeemed us. When we think about the idea of redemption, redemption is a purchase. That's what it's dealing with. It's talking about how you were once owned by something, but when you were redeemed, that means somebody else purchased you. So now you're owned by another person. And we've been bought, so we have been bought with a price by the blood of Yeshua. Now let's look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Messiah Yeshua, our Lord. So here Paul is telling us what? But thanks to God that we were once, what? Slaves of sin. Okay, so we once obeyed sin. We were once controlled by sin. See, when we follow our own hearts, when we do what seems right in our own hearts, we actually are becoming obedient unto sin. We become a slave unto sin. We become a slave unto our flesh and what our flesh desires and wants. Remember, we are all born into sin. We are all born with this wicked, evil heart inside of each and every single one of us. He says, but we were what? We were once slaves of sin. But remember, because Yeshua died upon that tree for us, we are no longer slaves of sin when we put our faith and our belief in Yeshua. So now we're no longer a slave of sin, being set free from sin. So now we are to become a slave of righteousness, or we are to become obedient unto righteousness. So you think about how Paul is speaking and the words he's saying here. He's almost tying in the way that we are to obey righteousness. He's using the same terminology as in how we once obeyed sin. See, we were once controlled by sin. We were once in a state where we couldn't help but sin. You know, we just naturally walked in sin. We didn't have to think about it. That's kind of the idea of what it would mean to be a slave of righteousness. It means that righteousness is our master. It is what controls us. We can't help but walk in what is righteous. And what is righteous? What defines righteousness? It's his law, his Torah. His Torah tells us what is righteous. His Torah tells us how we love him rightly, and it tells us how we love people rightly. So when we are obedient unto his word, unto his Torah, then we are being a slave of righteousness. But see, it's important to understand and know that you can never become a slave of righteousness. You can never become obedient to his Torah without belief in Yeshua, because you have first got to be redeemed. Because if you don't have belief in Yeshua, if he hasn't circumcised your heart, if he hasn't cleansed you of all your unrighteousness, if he hasn't redeemed you, then you are still a slave unto sin, no matter how hard you try to walk in righteousness. You are still a slave unto sin. What does he say in verse 21? What fruit did you have in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end is death. Speaking of sin. You know, when you walk in sin, it leads to shame. He's speaking of our acts, the fruit that was coming from that was shame. You're ashamed of your behavior. You're ashamed of the things that you did. And of course, the end of it was death. We read there in the Torah portion of how the death penalty was for the one who was rebellious and disobedient. For the end of our sin was death. But he paid that price for us. But see, now we are set free from that, becoming a slave of God. So now we have what? The fruit to holiness. Remember when he told Israel to wear the tassels from their garments, it was so that they would remember his commandments and they would be obedient unto his commandments, therefore being holy unto God or set apart unto God. So the whole desire of all this, the reason why he has redeemed us from sin, is so that we can have fruit unto holiness, or we could have fruit that is set apart, which the end is everlasting life. The end result of us putting our belief in Yeshua and being obedient unto his commands and putting aside the lust of our flesh and the desire to walk according to the evilness that is within our hearts is everlasting life. And that's our end result. That's the end goal, the end prize. But while we're here on the earth, we are going to produce fruit of holiness or fruit of set apartness. Our lives will show that we are different than everybody else. People will be able to look at us and say, there is something different about you. You believe something different than everybody else. You know, there's a scripture that talks about in the end days, in the latter days, that they will come and they will grab the tassels of the man of God and they will say, I know that God is with you. Now, I believe that that is going to happen, and I believe those days are coming. But those days are not going to come for people who are just wearing his tassels or wearing tassels just to show as an outward appearance, I would say. But it's going to be those who are actually walking in his commandments. Because let me tell you something. Just because you're wearing the tassels doesn't mean you're walking in obedience to his word. It doesn't mean that you're putting off fruit of holiness or fruit of set apartness from the world. You can wear the tassels and still look like the world. You can still love your brother just like the world loves their brother. So they don't see anything different about you other than the fact that you're wearing a tassel from your garment. Those are not going to be the people that's going to have people come up and grab their tassels and say, "For I know that God is with you." It's going to be the ones that are walking in the commands of Yahweh, who are holding true to all of his commands, all of his Torah, who doesn't have an outward of appearance of appearing to be obedient to his commands, but they are obedient to all of them, and they are loving God how he wants to be loved, and they are loving people how Yahweh has instructed them to love people. Hallelujah. So as we think about these tassels, what is the most important thing? What is he really trying to stress to us as believers? Not the fact that we're wearing the tassels. There's nothing wrong with wearing them. They are something that, like I said, and as he created them to be, something that reminds you of his commandments. So we need to do, the bottom line in all of this is whatever it takes for us to remember his commandments and to walk in his commandments and to be obedient unto his commandments and to put aside the desires and the wickedness of that resides within our hearts, we need to be willing to do whatever it takes to do that. Whatever it takes. But don't let the tassel just be a tassel. Because if you're wearing the tassel without the obedience, then you're missing the point of the tassels. Let's look in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yahweh. I will put my laws in their mind, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, Know Yahweh. For all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." First of all, hallelujah, thank you that he has been merciful unto us, that he has chosen to no longer remember all of our unrighteousness, all of the times that we chose to be rebellious, to be hard-hearted, to be disobedient, and to not walk in obedience to his word, but instead follow the evil desires that are within all of our hearts. So he has been merciful unto us. So thank Yahweh for that. Thank you that Yeshua has died upon that tree to show us his mercy and grace and to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. But his covenant that he has now made with us and with the house of Israel. So it's interesting to see here, even in the New Testament, we see the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. That's why Paul talks about in Romans how we need to be grafted in. And we are grafted in through belief in Yeshua. So when we believe in Yeshua, we are actually grafted into the house of believing Israel. Okay? And so what's his covenant? What is the new covenant? That he will put his law, or he will put his Torah in our minds, and he will write them on our hearts. So the very thing that was etched in stone on Mount Sinai in the Old Testament has now been written on our hearts in the New Covenant. That's what the New Covenant is. It's not that the law or his standard of righteousness is done away with. It's that his standard of righteousness has now been written upon our hearts, and he has now put it in our minds. See, Israel failed on their end of the covenant. This same portion, the same chapter in Hebrews talks about that, how the failure in the first covenant was not with Yahweh. It was not with the Torah, but it was with the people. So them having the tassels and wearing their tassels didn't remind them of the covenant. It didn't cause them to be obedient to his covenant. Now, whether or not they still wore them or not, we don't know. We do know that they wore them. The Pharisees, the religious leaders of the time, was wearing them when Yeshua walked on the earth, because he rebuked them because they were wearing them long as a boastful thing for people to see. But they were doing the very thing that I spoke of earlier. They were wearing these tassels, which was to remind them of the commandments of Yahweh, trying to show forth this outward righteousness towards the people. But they themselves were not being obedient to the commands of Yahweh. If you really study the scripture and what Yeshua says about them, the religious leaders of the time when he was here were not obedient to the Torah of Yahweh. And so they were wearing this outward showing of these tassels, but they were not walking in obedience. And so Yahweh says, I'm going to now do something different. I'm going to now write my Torah upon your heart. So just as it was etched in stone, I'm now going to etch it in your heart. So his spirit now comes and lives inside of us. When we believe in Yeshua, we become the dwelling place of God, and he puts his spirit, his Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us. And his Holy Spirit now begins to serve and help us, just as those tassels was to serve and help Israel and could even serve and help us even still today. But we also have the help of his Holy Spirit to remind us of his Torah, to remind us how to respond when we are in certain situations, to remind us of the commands and to be obedient to the commands, to convict us when our hearts are trying to lead us astray. His spirit is now living inside of us. His word, his Torah, is now living inside of our hearts. So that heart which was once wicked, he is now working on our hearts. We as believers in Yeshua are in this constant stage where our Creator, Yahweh, is working on our hearts, and he is transforming our hearts. And he is taking that old, evil, wicked desires and thoughts, and he's removing those, and he is placing his word and a desire for his righteousness and to walk in his righteousness in our hearts. And we just need to be a people who are humble and be willing to submit to the work of the Father in our hearts and his spirit, and allow his spirit to do that work in our hearts, to allow him to write his word, his law, upon our hearts and upon our minds, so that he can renew our minds, so that our minds can think differently. No longer think like the world thinks, but think according to his word and his righteousness and the way he thinks. And see, as our minds and our hearts become more conformed into his image and into his word. See, the more his law and his Torah is written upon our hearts and upon our minds, the more we are conformed unto his likeness. And the more we are conformed unto his likeness, the more set apart we are. The more set apart fruit we will bear to the world around us. So it all has to happen on the inside. It's not something that happens on the outside. It's something that happens on the inside. And we as believers have to be willing to go through that process and allow his spirit to work on us and in us. Because it starts on the inside and it flows from the inside out. Any form of righteousness that doesn't start from the inside, but is trying to be done on the outside, is going to fail and is only a righteousness. It's pretty much your own righteousness. It's not his righteousness. And it is counted as filthy rags. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 1. Now this is a commandment, and these are the statutes and the judgments which Yahweh your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear Yahweh your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as Yahweh God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh our God, Yahweh is one. Ye shall love Yahweh your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So here in Deuteronomy, we're seeing one of the blessings that he says is going to come when we are obedient to him. What is he telling them to do? He says, you're coming into the land, so now be careful to observe my commandments, to be obedient to them, okay, that you may fear Yahweh your Elohim. Obedience goes hand in hand when it comes to fearing Yahweh, okay, to keep all his statutes. What? So that all the days of your life may be prolonged. Long life comes to those who are obedient unto his word. That was the blessing, the promise that he was giving Israel. So he's saying, so listen to my words. That's what this whole portion is about. First of all, listen to my words. And we know that the word listen also means to obey. So to hear his word, to listen to his word, also would mean to obey his word. So hear my word, obey my word. Love me with all of your heart. So that's our command. Is to love him with all of our hearts. Remember how I talked about the heart of man is wicked. So we got to go through this process of our hearts being transformed and changed. And so we are in this process as believers. And we're looking forward to the day where we can truly say that we love him with all of our hearts. You know, we can say, hey, I love you, Yahweh, with all of my heart. But is that really a truthful statement? To love him with all of our hearts means that we are at a spot where we are completely obedient unto him. And I don't know about you, but I'm still a work in progress. And I don't think there's a person on this earth that is not a work still in progress. So we're all working and attaining to the goal to be able to love him with all of our hearts. So we got to continue to do that work on the inside of us, allowing our hearts, allowing his spirit to transform our hearts, to get rid of the wicked and evil desires that lay within inside of our hearts. So love him with all of your heart. That was his command here. And what does he tell them? He says, teach them diligently to your children. So be diligent about this idea of teaching my commands unto your children. So, yes, they were told to wear the tassels, but even as they're told to wear the tassels, we see here that they're also told what? That his word, his law, was to be in their hearts. So even though they were wearing the tassels, they were still to be in their hearts. When you look at the religious leaders, at the time of Yeshua, they were wearing the tassels, but the Torah of Yahweh was not in their hearts. So let's not be like the religious leaders of the time of Yeshua, where we have an outward showing of righteousness, but his law is not in our hearts. So how do we do that work upon our hearts? How do we do it? What is he telling them to do with their children? to teach his Torah to them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. It's kind of this idea of you're continually teaching your children my law. We as children of Yahweh, as disciples of Yeshua, should continually be learning his word. We should continually be listening and receiving instruction and guidance and reading his word. We should bind them. He tells them what? Bind them as a sign on your hand, as frontlets between your eyes. Put them on the doorposts of your house or your gates. This was an idea that they were to continually always be before your eyes. We need to be careful of what we're putting before our eyes, because our eyes is a gateway to our hearts. The things that we are putting before our eyes are going to be the things that's going to go into our hearts. The things that we're listening to are going to be the things that are going into our hearts. So we need to be listening. We need to be putting his word before our eyes, and we need to be listening to his word. The more that we read his word, the more that we study his word, and we need to do it in a spirit of humility. You know, you can read his word in the spirit of pride. And an example of that I would give is almost like the idea of I want to read scripture to prove everybody wrong that disagrees with me. That would be an example of reading scripture with pride. But we need to approach scripture and read it through humility and with humility, with the idea of our hearts being open to change, to being corrected. When we read scripture, we need to be open to receiving correction from his scripture. It's not about trying to gain knowledge to be smarter than the next person. It's about developing a relationship with him. Our time in scripture should be about learning his word and allowing his word to change our hearts. That's what it's all about. It's not about gaining knowledge to be smarter than the next person. When we approach it with the right heart and the right attitude, through that humility, our hearts will begin to be changed. So we read it, and also we can listen to his word. We can listen to well-grounded teachers and allow them to teach us and guide us and instruct our hearts as well. It's something we all should be doing, allowing our hearts to be shaped and molded by his word and not by this world. That's ultimately what he wants. Ultimately, his desire is for our hearts to be the tablets of his Torah and for his righteousness to dwell within our hearts and to flow out of us so that the world around us sees our obedience to his word, sees that fruit, sees our set apartness, sees that we are different from them, so that our light can shine unto the world around us, that they would see our good works and give praise to our Heavenly Father. That should be our desire each and every day, that we live a life in humility and yielded to his spirit so much, in obedience to his word so much, that the world around us will see him. See, when we walk in a way, when we are conformed, when our hearts are conformed to his Torah, so now our actions are conformed to his Torah, the world sees him, not us, because we're conformed into his likeness, not our own likeness, not into the likeness of this world. Conformity to him starts with obedience to his word, and it starts with our hearts being conformed by his word. It's from the inside. So I just want to end with a portion of scripture from Psalms, which speaks of the blessings that come to the one who delights in the law of Yahweh and walks in obedience to his word. Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of Yahweh, and his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For Yahweh knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Hallelujah. You know, I pray that we would all be willing to allow Yahweh to conform our hearts, to write his Torah upon our hearts and upon our minds, that we would be a people that are constantly reminded of his Torah, of his righteousness, and the instructions and the law which he has given us to walk in, that we can be a people that go forth and bear forth fruit of set apartness to the world around us. Hallelujah. I am so glad that you have joined us this week for this teaching. You know, we will be back next week with another teaching. So we hope that you come back and join us next week. And if you enjoyed this teaching, I want to encourage you to go ahead and share it with someone you know. Share it with someone you feel may need to hear this message. You know, share it. Get the word out there. Because this is all about getting his word to the four corners of the earth. Well, see you next week, and shalom, y'all.